From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Meet the Movie Press. And now, here's your host, the editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com, Mark Riley, and from the Wrap, Jeff Snyder.
Well, hello, Schmoeville.
Woo!
This is another episode of Meet the Movie Press. My name is Mark Riley, or Riley, as you guys know me, most of you know me. I am editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com, and sitting to my far right is my co-host, Jeff Snyder, of The Wrap.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Wonderful.
Good.
I'm excited that we have such an incredible guest this morning.
I know, and let's just get right to it. We have Amy Nicholson, the Amy Nicholson on Twitter. Is that correct?
Well, there's a lot of Amy Nicholsons. That's why I'm the Amy Nicholson.
Because you're the only one.
There's a girl in Scotland who's gotten a lot of my hate mail.
Really? Well, that's okay. She's like, you're like publicist and stuff. She can like scan through it.
Yeah, totally. It made us, we all became Twitter friends because of it.
Oh, that's really cool.
And by the way, if there are any Jeff Snyders out there who want to meet me, just reach out.
Yeah, that's,
you
that's
know
right.
Where to find me.
Yeah, any doppelgangers, any, you know, vicious clones,
I'm
just
like jealous.
Let us know.
Amy has a club of Amy's.
Yeah, right.
I do, and one of them is a documentary filmmaker who's really good. We got like a really awesome, that's the benefit of a generic name.
There you go. I guess so, right? But Amy is our guest. Amy Nicholson is chief film critic at LA Weekly, and she's the author of Tom Cruise, Anatomy and Actor Tom Cruise, which I'm so excited. We are going to talk about Tom Cruise a lot on this show, and especially your book.
I'm pumped.
I know. I am too, because he is one of my favorite actors of all time. I know a lot. He has a stigma behind him right now, but he's...
But you know, we're going to change that today.
Yeah, we're going to change that, and I really want to get into your article that kind of started it off, and as well as leading into your book and how you did it and the research and all that kind of stuff. But what we do in Meet the Movie Press, of course, to start, is we talk about movie news and all the things that kind of go with it, because it's becoming, look, the landscape is changing every day. We have so much movie news breaking. We talked last week about exclusives and these hot words that come out. We got a scoop here. We got an exclusive here. And how everybody, now people are like in talks and they're not even signing any dotted lines, but people are, you know, first to the gate with that kind of news.
It's fun. People like talking about this stuff. You know, I'm sure agents would rather wait for deals to close and things like that. People in business affairs, but such is life.
Such is life. But that is what the community of Schmoeville is. Amy, I was talking to you a little bit about Schmoeville, and they are a rabid fan base. They are a passionate and loyal fan base, and now you're a part of it. So
that's true. And before we started, you made a promise to me about your fan base, and I'm really excited about this.
Schmoeville, you do so many great posters and photoshops. Amy would like her face photoshopped onto Channing Tatum, right? Correct? And Step Up?
Yes, specifically from Step Up.
Okay.
Yes.
Step Up, which you're a big fan of, by the way. You just saw...
I just stayed up. If I look a little tired, it's because I had to see the midnight of Step Up 5 last night.
Step Up 5.
Step Up 5.
That's that is dedication, Amy.
Yeah. That. Wow.
I was so excited. I had a dance battle. One of your critics, Alonzo Duralde from The Wrap, we dance off in the theater because we were the only people there.
Did anybody record this?
No, it was not recorded.
Oh,
but
my God. That would have gone through the roof.
Alonzo's really flexible.
He can move.
Wow.
Are you as good of a dancer?
You know what? I'm not going to lie, I am.
We're going to do that right now. Okay, screw movie news. You guys dance off right now.
All right, so Step Up. Amy wants her face photoshopped onto Channing Tatum. Schmoeville, take care of her.
Yes, and follow her at The Amy Nicholson on Twitter. Welcome her to Schmoeville. This is a great thing. I am a big fan of yours after reading your articles and checking out some of your book. I didn't get to read all of it, but I'm going to do so
because it's
Tom Cruise, though. So, but before we do that, I don't want to blow the load
yet.
Back up. Okay. We got to talk about True Detective, okay? Schmova, you've been going crazy. Jeff Snyder over at The Wrap and over to my right has been dropping some major scoops. Jeff, lead us off with this True Detective stuff.
Well, geez, where do we start? I think we have to start with the casting.
Yes,
right?
let's do the casting, because I know a lot of people in Schmova were like, oh, you can't really talk about it because it's Meet the Movie Press. No. We're talking about this because this is some big stuff. Movie actors, movie stars, are now
TV.
They are gravitating to very good television.
That's where a lot of the good roles are.
Absolutely. And True Detective being probably one of the best examples of that. I mean, that first season is amazing. And now we're going into season two, and lead us there, Jeff.
So, you know, it looks like Colin Farrell is a definite for the male lead.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure where Taylor Kitsch stands at this moment in time.
Okay.
It's looking good, I think, but I don't want to say that he's in the show. It does look like Vince Vaughn is going to be on the show. Yeah. He's not going to be one of the three main investigators. He is not going to be necessarily the villain, per se, because True Detective is a mystery-based series, after all.
Right.
Okay? I really don't think, and I don't know any more than anybody else, mm-hmm. That at the end of the series, Vince Vaughn will be revealed as, you know, the killer of, you know, whatever crime
right.
They're going to set up. But I think he is being set up as the antagonist to an extent.
Okay.
And then the other, you know, rumors are sort of circulating around Elizabeth Moss from Mad
yep.
Men as the third investigator, the female lead. And I don't know. What do you guys make of this?
I am so excited about Colin Farrell because I love him. I love his eyebrows. He has the most expressive face mm-hmm. on the big screen. And I think he could actually make the small screen feel even more alive.
Absolutely. And I am a huge fan of his. Not for some of the roles he does, like Bullseye and Daredevil or anything. In Bruges is one of the best movies ever made, and he is fantastic in that movie.
Oh my God, that's one of my top 10 movies.
Yeah, isn't it? I love that movie. And the fact that he's going to be in it is amazing. When I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that's good casting right there.
That is excellent, and he could use it because I think he and Taylor Kitsch have gone through the same thing, Colin Farrell before him, of being accused of not being able to carry a movie.
Right. Right.
And I would like to see Taylor Kitsch be able to, like, prove everyone wrong.
Yeah, he's, you know what, he got a bad rap for Battleship and maybe Gambit for Wolverine Origins and all that kind of stuff.
And John Carter,
yeah, I didn't even think of John Carter. But I'm sorry, he's what's the movie with Mark Wahlberg? Lone Survivor?
Yeah, you know, he was great in that as Mike Murphy.
God, he was so
good. He was
good.
Really, really good.
And also
good.
The movie where he played a drug dealer, the Oliver Stone one.
Yeah, yeah, he was good in Savages.
Savages, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot put John Carter in Battleship on him.
No.
You know?
Absolutely.
You can't, but we do because we're the press and we like to talk about stuff.
Right,
we're,
and star,
we're kind of crazy.
You know, what comes with stardom and fame, and that's is responsibility. You,
yeah.
So you get the credit when you hit and you take the blame when you miss.
Absolutely, and that's kind of sad that we do that, but not we sitting here at the table, but...
The media collectively.
I mean, we kind of roll with these stories. We kind of jump on what's hot and maybe controversial. But with this, it's like you always, like when a movie fails, you're either putting it on the writer, or not even the writer. It's always the actor or maybe the director.
What I like,
and the director and the actor are kind of the people who have the least to do with it in some ways.
Yeah, they're just doing their job.
But what I like about Colin Farrell, do you guys remember Pride and Glory, Gavin O'Connor's
movie? Yeah. Name?
Isn't there a scene where he sort of like has like an iron and he's like holding it over a baby kind of or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't ever use it. But what I like about Colin Farrell is that he's dangerous as an actor. And there's always a threat of violence, you know, and you're never quite sure what he's capable of or what could set him off.
It's true. And it's not just because he's like a big, heavy, tough guy.
Right.
It's because
no.
He almost seems so frail and he's so full of soul that he would do anything to survive. It's like kind of that wild animal in a trap.
Ooh,
sort
like
of
it.
Danger, you know?
That's good.
Ooh.
That's good
yeah.
stuff, Amy.
I've heard
a lot about him. I really like him.
Yeah, obviously. And he, like I said, this is a fantastic casting if this all comes to be.
And yeah, and Vince Vaughn likewise, you know, he's another guy where people are like, oh, I know him from The Wedding Crashers and Swingers. He's the comedy guy. He's not right for this. Vince Vaughn has done a lot of solid dramatic work.
Yep.
And you've seen in some of the choices that he's made as far as what he's been developing lately, he's been looking for this movie to sort of diversify and to get out of those studio comedies like Delivery Man, which didn't perform very well,
right.
Although I enjoyed it. He's been looking for something darker. I did enjoy Delivery Man.
Well, that's what I like essentially about Vince Vaughn is that he is going to do something dramatic, and I want to see that. I love Vince Vaughn. I agree. He's a great dramatic actor. We haven't seen him. He's now the Wedding Crashers guy or the Internship or Delivery Man. He hasn't really hit something. So this is
it's a great opportunity.
It's in to put the brand True Detective now on it, which like everybody loves because of the first season. We got Emmy nominations galore coming, and now so we have season two now with this cast. Jeff, how did you come across this? I mean, that's what we talk about here, like Meet the Movie Press. We talk about the scoops and we talk about the reporting.
To be honest, you know, we were not on Vince Vaughn at all. I think that mm-hmm. was TV Line that broke it. And then Deadline added some really interesting backstory where I think it was that Nick Pizzolatto was hired to do the Rockford Files for Vince
yeah.
Vaughn or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they forged a relationship and it sounds like he sort of wrote this part with Vince in mind.
Ooh, that's nice. That's perfect.
Yeah. So at least we know it's going to be sort of tailor-made to, you know, his abilities and his talents.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Moss and Michelle Forbes were names that are... TV reporter Tony Maglio at The Wrap, he heard those names a couple of weeks ago, and we checked them out and had trouble confirming them. And they're still not confirmed, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it was Justin Kroll at Variety who mentioned Elizabeth sort of at the tail end of his Vince Vaughn story. And once he threw her name out there, I felt more comfortable sort of saying that she's definitely the front runner for the female lead. There's definitely interest there. And what's interesting to me about that is that I didn't think she would do it because she just did Top of the Lake, which is the same sort of show.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know what? I want to go back. You said something interesting where Kroll dropped Elizabeth Moss's name.
Right. It's a trade trick.
Yeah. And you felt comfortable talking about it. Now, this sounds like a very symbiotic relationship happening with the different trades. You know, are you talking to these guys? Are you calling them on the phone and going, hey, you dropped Elizabeth Moss's name. Is this, you know, can we talk about it?
Certainly not before we publish. I mean, after Justin posted and then I posted, I definitely texted him and I was like, so, you know, you've been hearing Elizabeth too for a while. He's like, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's definitely something there. And I was like, okay, yeah.
Wait, because you seem like a competitive guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, Justin and I still have a great relationship. He's one of my best friends out here. And
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can't trade notes before it's time to hit the button. But after that, I think we can talk about, oh, who was helpful and who was not.
Yeah, I like that. And so, Amy, do you any kind of scoops yourself? Or are you just kind of reporting and you... Chief film critic, so you're watching a lot of movies and you're discussing them on LA Weekly.
Yeah, I get to be sort of in my nice bubble, but I follow you on Twitter.
Oh no, I love that we have Amy here because you know, while I'm in the business of scooping news, like the movie press is not just people who break news; it's people who analyze the news. It's the film critics, and that's what we're gonna. Those are the people we're gonna meet on the show.
A lot of film critics who, you know, their jobs have asked them to get more and more into news, and some of them like critics. Newsbreaking and criticism are such different brains. Like I don't have that like hunger to dig stuff out that I think you do, and I wish I had some more of that. But I would find it almost impossible to do what you do.
And I used to be a film critic, and I don't really write proper reviews anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as good as you guys are.
I like that. Does that mean that you have a real love for film? It's not just about the news for you. It's not
Of course not. I started out, you know, writing reviews for Ain't It Cool for free and for the student paper. And
He was Mira Jeff.
That's right.
He was Mira Jeff at Ain't It Cool, which I followed for years. And I mean, that's kind of, I love this. I mean, it's like, so we have a film critic that, you know, you're in your bubble and you are reviewing movies. Jeff, you aren't doing some scoops. You're doing film reporting. You do watch movies, of course. And on my end, I'm a film lover and a film geek. I'm wearing a Batman hat, obviously. And so I love all of it. I mean, yeah, I've done some scoops. I've done some reviews. I kind of incite conversation and from the geeks.
You're
standpoint.
A multi-hyphenate,
I guess
they would say at Variety, but in terms of movie press.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, which is why this is such a great show, because here we are with Amy, and you know, you saw Step Up last night. I know, Schmoville, you might not be aware of Step Up 5 like I was, but you're a big fan of it.
There's another bill that's aware.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of 3 and 4.
The fan of 3 and 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 was sad, but I've been looking forward to seeing 5 for like 3 months.
Yeah.
It's been all I've been thinking about. So it's like when you wake up after Christmas and it's not as good of a present as you wanted.
I just love the idea that Step Up 5 is like circled in red on Amy's calendar. Like,
oh, you don't even know.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking that it was like opening this Friday for 3 weeks. I've had it on my calendar, and then I keep having to look it up and be like, Amy, you're an idiot. You're wrong. That's how excited I've been.
That's funny.
Cool.
So are you, in general, a huge movie fan? Or are you just, like, is Step Up your favorite genre? Or what are some more movies that you love and that you review for LA Weekly?
Yeah.
Everything?
I review everything. I like it because I don't necessarily get to pick everything I review. My editor, Alan, in New York for The Village Voice assigns. And I like that. He keeps saying, are you sure this is okay? And I like being pointed to something because I think I do my best thinking when it isn't something I would have picked out for myself.
Okay.
It makes you think harder.
Yeah.
But I do like having tiny pet projects. And one of my pet projects is I wish we could go back to a time where actors had talents besides acting.
Yeah.
And that's why I really love the Step Up franchise, is it gives me an excuse to talk about how we used to have people who could actually dance and brought more skill to the table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or movies where people can sing. Like, I want the old-fashioned kind of star back.
Yeah.
At least a couple of them.
Well, now, yeah, these days it's like if you're casting a big singing role, they just go get a singer. They just go get Adam Levine and put him in Begin Again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And he was kind of good at being a can I say the word douchebag on here?
You just did, so let's do it.
In Begin Again, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what, though? And I want to go back to Channing Tatum because he's rumored to be in the Guys and Dolls remake or reboot or whatever.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't think it's happening either. I heard I heard the same thing. So, but he's kind of with Magic Mike, he's a good dancer and like he really showed some range there. So is that more of the actor that you're talking about?
I think he's so interesting. It's weird because everybody talks about him like he's just a bland hunk, and I don't find him that hunky really.
Mm-hmm.
I love his physical gifts because you can see his dance training even in stuff like 22 Jump Street, the way he like can climb over a fence. He's like he's a great physical performer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that about him.
And he's a good comedic actor too,
right?
And
it's
to get him
new.
In the Coen Brothers movie *Hail Caesar*, oh my God, this cast is looking amazing.
It's a great cast.
It's such a great cast. So I'm really excited for that, and it makes me think of when you say like, wish he had more of those actors that could sing, and well, you know, Tom Cruise in *Rock of Ages*.
Yeah, Tom Cruise can actually sing.
He can sing.
One of the weird things I realized while watching *Top Gun* is that scene where he sings "You've Lost That Loving Feeling." He sings a lot better than that. He's singing it bad on purpose.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Maverick picking up a girl in the bar, you know, and not being able to sing.
Yeah, or Maverick knowing he can't pick up the girl and making a joke of it and pretending it's all. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got really into reading into Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Should we just jump into Tom Cruise right now? Can we just do it?
You're ready to go. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we can spend the entire time talking about it. And I want to. And I want to talk about your article to start. Because your article at LA Weekly that I'm going to post again, guys, on Meet the Movie Press. We have an official Facebook page, so I want you guys to go there because I'm going to post this article later, and go ahead and click on that like button, share it with your friends, and then that'll take you to the iTunes feed, which is so important to subscribe to that because that gets our wonderful guests like Amy to come in to talk about Tom Cruise. So what was interesting about this article for me was how he didn't really jump on the couch and ruin his image as a lot of people think. That was a viral thing that kind of took the media by storm. So break it down for me, Amy, because this article was so interesting, like that the media just kind of wanted to finally find, you said something in your article, like they finally found something they could tear him down with.
Yeah, which is amazing. One of the striking things about Tom Cruise, I think, isn't just that he had this very public savaging in the press in 2005. It's that somehow he lasted from 1981 to 2005 while keeping his nose pretty clean. Mm-hmm. And that's a time where he went through two divorces, mm-hmm. immediately left Nicole Kidman and started dating like Penelope Cruz. Like some stuff went down.
Sure.
And he always seemed to rise above it and it didn't seem to hurt him that much.
Yeah.
And so you get this sense of a feeding frenzy of people just being like, boom, we got to do this. And what's interesting about that article is it didn't start off with me realizing he didn't jump on the couch. I didn't realize that till like midnight, 4 days before the piece was due.
Wow.
Yeah, when I was rewatching it for the second time and I was like, wait a second.
Wow.
And then the whole thing just shifted. I thought I was doing a piece about media culture in 2005 and how YouTube started and how TMZ started in Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. And then it became something else entirely. And I got really interested in that question of why do I remember this wrong?
Yeah, and I read your article. I had kind of had the same thing where I went, why do I remember this wrong?
Yeah.
You brought up the they did the Star Wars thing where, you know, he was like killing Oprah as the emperor with the lightning.
Oh, right, sure.
And that video kind of went viral, of course. And then that kind of just really pushed that idea further into the media and the pop culture, you know, and that is sad to me. It really is.
Exactly, because it scares me not just because of Tom Cruise, but it scares me because of what it says about my brain and everyone's brain that we watched a weird, out-of-context, 30-second thing with obvious fake music and obvious fake effects, and we thought that was reality. We knew it wasn't reality, but we just assumed the truth behind it was real. And I think that's what happened to the viral video of Tom Cruise on the couch, is people didn't really watch it for themselves. They saw a headline.
Yep.
They saw that if they wanted to watch a video, they could. So they assumed that whatever they said was in the video was there, and it wasn't, and we never checked.
It's interesting.
And that was the most interesting part about your article, because it really then, Tom Cruise then had to fight his way out of that, and then it kind of snowballed into this, you know, him saying these antidepressants are bad for you, Brooke Shields, after you gave birth. Why, you know, and then everybody was mad at him for that, and then it became Scientology, and then it's like you're getting away from the brilliance of Tom Cruise as an actor.
Yeah,
and that's what our culture is now.
Exactly. Once there's blood in the water, I think everybody descends. And it's a little frightening to me that it's been 9 years and he still hasn't come out of it. And now I think it's almost self-induced. I think he's so paranoid that people don't love him again.
Yeah.
That he feels like he needs a number to prove it. Like a $300 million
right.
movie to prove that we love him again.
Yeah.
And so he's not doing the movies I think he should be doing, like a Coen Brothers movie, which would be amazing.
I would love to see it. And you even bring up Magnolia. And exactly. That's one of my favorite roles of his.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star on the face of this planet or any other.
I totally agree.
He is a one-of-a-kind, wholly unique actor who I believe in almost every single role. He brings it 110% every time.
Every time.
He doesn't sleepwalk through movies.
Nope.
And from what I hear about the guy, he's super nice and remembers everyone's name.
Yep.
And like...
Yeah.
He's a stand-up dude.
You know, I was at Runyon Canyon with my dog, and I was talking to a guy in a baseball cap and sunglasses with his, like, hound dog or whatever he was with. And we were talking about dogs, and this guy was so nice. And I look up, and it's Tom Cruise.
Really?
And I was just like, you know, and that's the only contact I've ever had with the guy. But I thought that was interesting and
it's
how
true.
Nice he was.
Like, starting on this book, I hear stories like that all the time. It's
yeah.
so crazy. People just come up to you and they're like, this one time I was a PA. He had never talked to me. And then he came up and asked me what I was doing that weekend. Didn't see him again for 5 months. And then he's like, hey, how was your trip
to
Santa Barbara?
That's unbelievable.
Like, I hear stuff like that all the time. And what's surprising to me is I didn't even start writing the book I wrote about him because
yeah.
I was a Tom Cruise fan.
Yeah.
I wrote it thinking I was going to write something kind of colder and more clinical, like, how did a mediocre actor who was kind of short and a little weird looking when he started out,
right?
How did this guy turn himself into a global brand, which is interesting in its own way?
Well, talent.
It's
that
talent.
Is the way.
And that was the answer, but that wasn't the answer I was expecting. I thought I was going to write a meaner book.
I'm curious, why Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
You know, it was pitched to me by Calle de Cinema. They wrote.
Okay.
They read a review I wrote about Jack Reacher,
uh-huh.
which was a book I take that book series very seriously. I read all of them. They are so amazing.
Wow.
And I was really upset that Tom Cruise was cast as Jack Reacher.
But he was so good, right?
He was so good, but I just had this image in my head for years that
sure.
it should be Michael Shannon.
Ooh.
Because it's got to be a
yeah.
tall,
oh, he's
blonde,
big guy. Yeah,
scary
yeah, yeah.
guy who like has to apologize for the way he looks when he walks up to someone in a dark alley. So I was just really attached to that.
Okay.
So I wrote this piece about Jack Reacher, and I was like, oh, Tom Cruise, he just doesn't even have to act. He just shows up, and he's, I'm cool, and I'm Tom Cruise. And it was all those things I always kind of was parroting, I think, people saying about him.
Yeah.
And so they offered me the book based on that review.
Wow.
And then in my researching, I was like, oh, my God, I'm totally wrong. And I had to be like, guys, this isn't the book you thought you were getting. I think he's a great actor, and I'm an idiot.
Yeah, well, I to go to, again, I'm basing a lot of this off your article because it's so fantastic, but what he did, Risky Business, and he blows up, and everybody wants him, and Top Gun goes crazy, and they want him for a sequel immediately, and he's like, no, I want to go do The Color of Money. Oh, I want to go do Rain Man, and not be, you know, the lead actor in that. I mean, you could argue that he is, but that's Dustin Hoffman's performance, but the name Tom Cruise, I think, then made Rain Man accessible to the audience.
Exactly. How strange is it that a movie like Rain Man became the number one film at the box office that year? Does
exactly.
That would never happen these days.
That
no.
would never happen.
That's why it's sad.
And it won
yeah.
Oscars. Like, Oscars and number one at the box office.
Yeah, and was he wasn't nominated for that, which I thought he should have been.
He wasn't nominated for that or Color of Money, but both of his co-stars not only got nominated for Best Actors,
they won.
And you think that, if they don't have him to play against, those roles, how annoying would Rain Man be if there was no Tom Cruise in that movie and it was just Dustin Hoffman by himself?
Well, he'd be walking around in circles and just
yeah.
running into the wall, I think. But but you're absolutely right. Tom Cruise brings that. He in his earlier roles, especially like Rain Man mm-hmm. and Color of Money. Which
Born on the 4th of July, baby.
Born on the 4th of July. And again, that movie got made because he wanted to do it.
Exactly. Oliver Stone had been trying to make that movie since the 70s with
yeah.
Al Pacino.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Al Pacino was his first choice. It
Ooh.
Never got funded. And then Tom Cruise had that clout where he could be like, not only am I talented enough to pull this off, we can actually get this made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't have stars like that who are exercising their power for good. We have some, but like nothing to his caliber.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's sad because I think of, I don't know why I just thought of this, but with Edge of Tomorrow, it was so good. And it didn't do spectacular at the box office. And again, people go, oh, it's Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
It's because it's Tom Cruise. And I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
It's well, maybe it is. I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint because I see that movie and I go, God, that's good. And it didn't do well. And that sucks.
It didn't. And I feel like a lot of what it didn't do well is we've just gotten trapped in this thinking that a blockbuster has to cost as much money as it did. So to make a movie like that look financially successful is so impossible.
Exactly.
He can't be doing expensive movies if he needs to look like he has a hit.
Yeah.
Almost nothing is a hit nowadays.
But, I mean, no, you can make a $100 million movie, but that wasn't a $100 million movie. Yeah. It was like a $150 million movie or something.
Yeah. And it didn't have Marvel in the title or as the brand, you know, which is
based on a Japanese manga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is bold of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that shows, again, he's so interesting with his choices. Like, he's always making interesting choices. And I continue wanting to see him make these interesting choices. Like, what's his name in Tropic Thunder?
Les Grossman.
Les Grossman.
That was a guy who made interesting choices.
Yeah, right. There was a reason why they were announcing some kind of sequel with him or a spinoff movie that I guess just never happened, which I would love to have seen.
God. And you're an industry guy. I always hear that Sumner Redstone was really upset with Les Grossman and thought it was just Tom Cruise making fun of him for firing him from Paramount.
Oh, right. My sources do not ascend as high as Sumner's office, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I heard that too, you know, just in little chatter when, you know, you're talking to certain people and you know and you hear about these people. But
yeah.
I just love the fact that he put on a fat suit and didn't look like he put on a fat suit.
No,
he just disappeared in the role.
Fun fact, his hands, those big hairy hands, are fake hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
He said to Ben Stiller, like, the number one thing, he's like, I want big hands. And the dancing that he does was actually not in the script. It was when they were doing his makeup test and they were like patting him out and putting all the hair on. He just started dancing to kill some time and they're like, oh, we're putting that in.
Oh, that's amazing. Well,
Amy, when are we going to get the next Tom Cruise drama? Because he's done all these kind of big movies in a row. Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion, Jack Reacher. His next movie's going to be Mission Impossible 5.
Yep.
I need another Valkyrie. I need another Magnolia.
Yeah, it's not soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love another Rain Man, if we could even say that there's another Rain Man out there. Yeah. Or just a drama, like Jeff said. Or
I always wanted to see. There was this movie that was announced a long, long time ago. It was a Todd Phillips movie. It was called Men.
Yeah.
It was like a remake of something that Tom Cruise was supposed to star in. And it was supposed to like be like a sort of Jerry Maguire type of tone.
Okay.
I think that sounded so cool. I'd love to see them revisit that project.
That would be cool. And he doesn't need the money. And I don't think he even cares that much about money. So I feel like if I was him, I would call up Quentin Tarantino and say, don't pay me. I'll do anything you want.
For real.
Yeah. That is can you imagine?
Not this one, though. Not the Hateful Eight.
Not
Sorry.
The Hateful Eight. No. I'd actually, and that's an aside. I wish kind of Quentin was doing another genre, not another Western, but that's beside the point. Yeah. I want to go back, Amy, to, okay, so you were pitched this idea to write a book on Tom Cruise. So you said yes, obviously. And so what's your process? How do you then start to grab all this information? Because it's Tom Cruise.
Right, that's what I was wondering too. Who do you reach out to? Because I know Tom keeps a very close-knit circle that's tough to penetrate. Tell us.
I'm a research obsessive.
Nice.
But I'm not that good at calling people on the phone.
Okay.
So there's a library here called
the...
a little. There's a library here, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and it is run by these genius researchers. And you can just walk up to them and write on a folder, you know, Rain Man. And they will give you 5 stacks of envelopes with every clipping ever done about Rain Man. And I just lived there. I have so many notes. I have like twice as long as this book is.
And
I have that as a computer document
just,
of notes.
Just think, Amy, one day some reporter's going to walk in and slip them a note for Step Up 5 and your clips are going to be in there.
Why do you think I put myself under so much pressure?
But I'm sorry to interrupt.
To know that was good.
That's great. Continue, please.
Yeah. And I want to go to this library too. I've heard about it and I know it's that awesome.
It is incredible. It is incredible. I mean, I did the book chronologically because the way that it's structured is we pick 10 roles that best define him, which aren't even necessarily his best roles.
Okay.
But in this case, they kind of were. But I wasn't going to put Far and Away in the book as much as, you know, I've met a lot of Far and Away apologists, and I think that movie's incredibly interesting, and my mother really loves it, but
I like Far and Away.
Yeah.
I like the Anya song in it.
It's sweet. Right? I like his accent.
Yeah, his accent. It's cute.
I like the scene where he's naked, but he has the hat on his crotch, and Nicole Kidman peeks under it. And
that's right.
End of it is Oklahoma, and that's where I went to school, is Oklahoma, so I feel a little bit of pride.
Okay. All right, well, so you said 10 movie roles that define him. Maverick?
Yep.
Risky Business?
Uh-huh.
Magnolia?
Yep.
Okay. This is fun.
I know.
Jeff, you want to...
I mean, Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah. I did Mission Impossible 4 at the end to kind of sum up his action career.
Okay. So, Rain Man?
No, I didn't do Rain Man.
Les Grossman?
Yes.
Les Grossman? Born on the 4th of July?
Yep.
Okay.
Got four more.
Jerry Maguire?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Doing really good.
Not The Last Samurai.
Not The Last Samurai.
Not The Last Samurai.
I'm and not to... Collateral. I've been getting some grief for that, but not Collateral. I don't like that movie.
I mean, did you do Jerry Maguire?
We already called it.
Yeah, oh, Jerry Maguire.
Okay, forget. What about Eyes Wide Shut?
Absolutely. Okay. That was my hardest one because I don't like that movie either, but it had to be written about.
You got to write about it. It's Stanley Kubrick's last, you know, hurrah and, you know.
Yeah, and you think about Eyes Wide Shut, what happened when he made that movie? He had just gotten the Oscar nomination for Jerry Maguire. He had just done the first Mission Impossible film and started his production career. And he's like, but I have to work with Kubrick. And he goes to London for 2 years.
Yeah.
Gives up all of it.
Wow.
Like, at the peak of his career to do this movie that then nobody liked.
I'm seeing a theme here with Tom Cruise. Like, he just does interesting things. And he doesn't care. I mean, he obviously cares about his career, but he doesn't care what the media is going to say. Or maybe, you know, his agent. Who's like, Top Gun 2? Top Gun? No. Like, he's still going.
Let's pray we never see that.
Please, no Top Gun 2.
Jerry Bruckheimer,
Stop it.
Unless he dies. That'd be kind of cool.
Can we do the beginning where
Tom
it's like...
Tom Cruise doesn't die on screen?
I think older Tom Cruise might decide to. How much did he die in Edge of Tomorrow?
That would be better. That's true.
What if
he dies
hybrid
60
him?
Times.
Yeah.
I genuinely feel that there are like a couple mediocre Tom Cruise movies, but there are no mediocre Tom Cruise performances.
No.
And honestly, the chief mediocre cynical movie I think he ever did is Days of Thunder.
Yeah. I think, and it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's one of my. Would you call it a guilty pleasure? Like Days of Thunder? Because I felt it was just Top Gun and Cars.
Yeah, well, anything that lets Nicole Kidman play like a 22-year-old brilliant neurosurgeon.
You're
like,
awesome.
Wait, really?
I'll buy it. Yeah, that's what movies are.
Yeah, I think that's the only movie he. I don't know if he went, like, specifically got writing credit, but it's the one that he really wanted writing credit on. He felt like he did the most work on that script.
So was Days of Thunder in that 10?
I skipped it.
No. Okay. Yeah, I figured. So have we gotten all of them? No.
I think we're missing three. There's War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of the surrounding publicity of it, like him jumping on the couch and that kind of thing?
It's actually because what I find interesting about War of the Worlds is we have this image of Tom Cruise who's always just the heroic character.
Mm-hmm.
And in War of the Worlds, he's the opposite. He's the star of the film, but every time somebody needs saving, he's like, I'm not doing that. And he gets mad at his son when he tries to save somebody. It's a really interesting subversion of who we think he is.
I didn't think about it that way. I thought about it more as, oh, it's Tom Cruise in a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
But, Minority Report.
No, because I only wanted to do one Spielberg movie.
There you go. Okay, I understand.
Interview with a Vampire.
Thank you.
I love that movie so much.
I love that movie so much, and it's so funny how even Anne Rice hated Tom Cruise as Lestat and then wrote an article in, what is it, Variety? Or
it's like,
took a full page apology. Sorry. You were awesome. Sorry about
it.
You know.
Idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And now, are we going to get
yesterday.
Yesterday, where Anne Rice, Universal,
Vampire
just picked
Chronicles
up
series.
The Vampire Chronicles. And Prince Lestat, is that a new book of hers coming out?
I think it's coming out, yeah.
So I hope to God we're not going to get an interview with the Vampire remake.
No, I imagine that they would recast Lestat.
Yeah, I know they're going to recast. I don't think Tom Cruise is coming back. I just don't want a remake.
No,
period.
No.
Of anything Interview with the Vampire, because that movie's brilliant.
That movie is so good. Although I love that it's like Tom Cruise being paired with Brad Pitt at the very start of their careers, and Tom Cruise being like, Brad Pitt, you cannot even compare to what I'm about to bring to this movie.
Yeah, it's so true.
He acts circles around him. And part of it is Tom Cruise's crazy research.
Yeah.
Like Brad Pitt, like famously, well, I don't know how famous, but gave an interview saying that he didn't even read Interview with the Vampire. He started to read it and then he thought it was boring and he threw it away. That's like him distancing himself from what he thought was an embarrassing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise like fought for the part. And then not only read Interview with the Vampire, he read every single book with Lestat in it.
Because so he doesn't do anything half-assed. He goes all the way.
So he comes to this movie with this rich understanding of who this character is. Brad Pitt just comes in with this like slanted idea that Lestat's a bad guy, because that's how Interview with the Vampire goes. It's only through Louis' eyes, and Louis is impressive.
Yeah.
So they're in two different movies.
And that's so interesting.
Tom Cruise just makes him look ridiculous.
So wait, what's the 10th role? We got 9, right?
Yeah.
Which one did we miss?
I'm not sure anymore. Did we say Magnolia for sure?
Yeah. I said Risky Business. Is that JTE? Our engineer is throwing some throwing some signs up.
Minority Report? I can do it in order really fast.
Do it.
Risky Business, Top Gun, Born on the 4th of July, Interview with a Vampire, Jerry Maguire, Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia, War of the Worlds. Tropic Thunder, and Mission Impossible. So maybe we did do all of them.
I think we did. Okay.
Maybe fair I just enough. Can't count. I'm just a writer. I don't know math.
Math is tough.
It was my understanding there would be no math.
that was agreed to before the interview.
We signed contracts. No math.
The other thing I love about Tom Cruise, which he doesn't really get credit for, I mean, he has some really cool executive producer credits. I know.
Yes.
We probably would never have seen Narc if it was not for him.
Yep.
And also Shattered Glass.
Right.
I know he was involved with that
one. Yeah, that's right.
That is super true. And also behind the scenes in the Mission Impossible series, like he was the one who brought all those directors to it. And you think the genius of Mission Impossible is every film is it's different from the other because he's found not only different directors, but like odd directors for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He picked Brian De Palma sort of out of like 70s art house, like a slight obscurity. He gave him the biggest budget of his career and said, go nuts.
Yeah.
He is the one who brought John Woo here and gave him this huge budget to do too, which I think is the worst one.
It is. I agree with you.
And who would have thought that, because considering John Woo is the best action director of the four, probably.
Yeah. And then he like shows that J.J. Abrams can do a film of this scale. And then he takes Brad Bird and says, and this guy doesn't just have to do cartoons. Like, the guts behind that to take his beloved franchise and hand it over to people like that who are proving themselves.
Yeah, and I love that he did choose J.J. Abrams, who then hadn't really directed a movie yet, and then he blows up. Obviously, he's directing Star Wars now. And then Brad Bird, you just said it. He was The Incredibles and Iron Giant and Ratatouille, and now he's doing Ghost Protocol, and now he's Brad Bird's now doing Tomorrowland with George Clooney. I mean, this is all like interesting. It's like you can maybe even say Tom Cruise is helping these directors get out there.
Yeah.
Like now with Mission Impossible 5 director
Chris McQuarrie,
you know, writer of Usual Suspects, writer of Valkyrie, and now he's stepping to the
Jack
plate.
Reacher.
Yeah, Jack Reacher. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you see a shift in his career, like after the Kubrick era. Like up until Kubrick, he is on this mission to work with only the best people. He's like Ridley Scott, check.
Yeah.
And then after that, he finally does a Spielberg, which takes him like longer than you would expect.
Yeah.
But now he's like looking for that next generation. And that's really exciting.
Yeah. So I know we have to sort of wrap this up and move on to the next topic or whatever, but who's other than Tarantino, who's a filmmaker you'd like to see Tom Cruise work with, or what's like a certain movie or role that you'd like to see him play?
Well, when you guys brought up Channing Tatum and the new Coen Brothers, a part of me when that news broke was a little sad because I was really hoping he would do a Coen Brothers movie as well.
Tom Cruise would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Coen Brothers movie with him. I would love to see a Coen Brothers if we can go from Les Grossman and take a quirky character like that, put it with a Coen Brother movie like a Big Lebowski, that would be amazing to me.
I think
Tom Cruise, if he did like a dude, not the dude, but like a something that Tom quirky,
that
he could kill it.
Tom
he
Cruise,
could
Coen
kill
Brothers
that.
Movie.
Just the Coen Brothers. I could go on for hours about that.
You really
that.
Could. Or we could see a Tom Cruise movie directed by Tom Cruise. Because he, for a long time, swore that he was going to direct. And the only thing he ever directed was a made-for-TV, like, noir sex thing in the 70s, which was pretty bad. But it's also just bad because everything that was, like, noir sex stuff in the early 90s was kind of terrible.
Yeah, right.
But he had a very young John C. Reilly in it. And actually, John C. Reilly, it's not even on his list of credits. It's, like, credited under a different name.
Interesting.
And you would never know that, like, they met really early on to do this strange little, it was like a Showtime series.
Wow.
So we basically been just gushing over Tom Cruise. Did you actually get to meet him?
I don't want to.
Okay.
I think it would throw everything off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I've met some of my heroes and you just want to remember them the way that they are up on the screen.
Yeah, because genuinely, I don't know if you will like... I would never want to read a book about myself that analyzes me that much, so I don't know if...
Did you have to talk to Amanda Lundberg?
I sent her a copy of the book.
Okay.
But that's all.
Just and Amanda like, Lundberg
is Tom's publicist.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting. So it's really... You're coming at it as a fan, then. You're breaking down... You said 10 roles that defined him, and we all speculated because there's... God,
there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of like what we were talking about the couch and the idea of like new memory. That was the weird thing about doing this book is I had all these bad memories of these films, but of being something flatter and less interesting than they are.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about a Tom Cruise movie is you go back and you watch it again and you're like, this is not how I remember it. Top Gun is not that like cheesy and pumping around and like being a big cornball. It's like a dark thing about his dad.
Yeah.
You know, you remember stuff weird. Risky Business is not him sliding on in his underwear. It's about, like, prostitution and how he's a virgin. And it's a very uptight, weird movie.
Yeah.
And it's only when he's drunk that he slides across the floor. Up until then, he's not even having fun in the movie. Like,
that's right. He's,
it's weird.
He doesn't want to have fun in that movie. I mean, that's his, like, character. That's his arc.
Exactly.
The prostitute's basically like, you need to enjoy yourself,
exactly,
kid.
So that's what kept this interesting to me, is like just realizing that I had him wrong in every single movie.
Yeah.
And that there's always something going on that I was just too, oh, Tom Cruise is a movie star, not an actor, to mm-hmm. notice.
So you're at the Academy Motion Picture Arts and Science Library, and you pick the 10 movies, and then you just go in depth for every single movie, and like love letter to Tom Cruise in each one? Or is it like facts, publicity, media that also informed the decisions? Is it that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of research. There's a lot of, like, I found just so many quotes in interviews. It's a very dense interview.
I can't wait to finish the book this weekend.
I know. Yeah. Me too. And how long did it take you?
Oh, well, the French were really mean because they like to go on vacation in the summer for the entire summer. So they gave me 2 months, and I was like, you're jerks. I want 4. So they gave me 3.
Okay.
Which, you know, is a very evil compromise. So I didn't sleep. I had insomnia for a while. It felt so good to turn it in last year.
Yeah. And so where can people find it?
Amazon, I suppose.
Amazon?
No, it came out on Monday.
It came out on Monday?
Yeah. I only saw it for the first time yesterday because I haven't even gotten my copies yet from the publisher. But
are you doing any signings?
Signings are so silly.
Will you sign my PDF?
I will totally sign your PDF. Can you have a Sharpie? Can I just write right here?
Just if you put it on in the corner right here, because I need to check my Twitter feed, you know, I don't want it right here.
Yeah, I just want people to read it. So there's an excerpt of the Eyes Wide Shut chapter on Vanity Fair, and the entire Magnolia chapter is on Grantland as of this week.
Oh, great. So
I love Grantland.
Me too.
It's so cool. Good
okay. And so Amazon, you can get it. I mean, is it something like, too, you can walk in Barnes & Noble and it's there?
I don't know. Somebody got it at Skylight Books this week. They told me.
So it's in print.
It's in print.
Yeah.
It's big, too. It's like
Tom Cruise, Anatomy of an Actor.
I love it. I can't wait to read it and hear more from you. So what's your next thing? Are you step up 5 review? Is that
that's my afternoon? Yeah.
Okay, that's your afternoon. I also saw a tweet from you that didn't like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, did you?
No, and I mean, I loved that movie a lot. I'm just of the age where when the first one came out, I was 11, and I watched it so much.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, I saw your tweet, and it was like,
I'm afraid to read the review. I just retweeted it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's so generic. It's really sad. And the first one was weird. It had, like, they went, like they were kids, and they were smoking, and, like, and this one's just super generic.
Give me this much, Amy. Does Megan Fox look good?
She looks good, but oh my God, Michael Bay is mean to her. Because I'll take 2 seconds. April O'Neil is, you know, like walking around and solving cases and actually doing smart stuff, and nobody in the film ever acknowledges it. Instead, they just keep talking about how hot she is. And it's really sad.
Oh,
like,
that sucks.
She never gets any credit for her brains in the movie. Like, Michelangelo looks at her and he goes,
I can't believe Michael Bay
would. She's so hot, I feel my shell tightening. And it's just creepy. Like, it feels like they set her up so that she looks like an idiot.
This doesn't sound like Michael Bay's MO.
Know. Michael Bay, he loves women, doesn't he? I mean, he likes to film them a lot from the behind. He's awesome like that.
Well, if
I don't
you stay at the credits, there is like a gratuitous shot of a Victoria's Secret billboard with the turtles as the boobs.
Oh, that's
and
in the
kidding.
In the trailers.
Creativity,
that's in the
folks.
Trailers?
Yeah, that's in the trailers. Oh. I know that shot. Well, that's the post-credit scene.
Well, it's just as the credits are going. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's the sewer.
Someone tweeted, "Cowabummer."
That's good. I wish I thought of that.
Let's talk about DC before we got to go.
Yeah, we got to go, but we got to talk about DC. Everybody's been talking about this, and Amy, I want your opinion on this because it's interesting for the movie landscape. DC, Jeff, I was writing my coverage of it, and I see your tweet come out. I wrote, you know, DC blinks, and I see yours come out, and I'm like, oh, I got to change that, you know, because you said that's something similar.
Yes.
And is that the media really making more of a big deal than this?
Yes,
DC
and I
like Marvel won.
I wrote Warner Brothers a note too, and I think you know, Todd Cunningham, who I share a co-byline with on that story, we were like, and Warner Brothers understands, we had to play it up like that, like the whole Warner Brothers flinches, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
In this game of chicken that the media has created out of this, but I totally understand Warner Brothers when they're saying, it's just a good move. It's smarter to be the first movie out. Like, yep, you're getting in front of Captain America, even if Captain America opens overseas a couple of weeks, you know, before here.
No, they're gonna have
still
a good...
enough time.
Yeah,
and whenever, first of all, whenever you put this Batman movie out, it's going to be huge.
I think the analytics, as I call it, don't lie. When I covered Comic-Con, I mean, the internet exploded with the footage. And when Avengers footage came out, it was like, there's kind of, we know what we're getting with Marvel. That's the way I feel.
Right.
DC and the shared universe, it's just so interesting now. So it's like everybody wants to see Batman and Superman on screen.
Yeah.
So moving it is very smart.
Yeah, we don't care whether it's May or June or July. I don't care if it's Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday.
Just... Yeah. It's coming out in March, which is awesome. We get it sooner than we thought.
Right.
And it's, now we get a blockbuster in March. Like, Amy, what do you think about all this? Like,
I would love to see around the clock blockbusters just doled out. I don't know why we cram them into a few months. I think it's really silly. I mean, March, I think, has a slight tinge of nervousness to it because we've seen some huge bombs in March lately.
But some huge hits. Yeah, you
like
said something
John
interesting.
Which bomb?
Yeah.
Okay, so John
like
Carter.
John Carter. Mars Needs Moms was, I think, the Disney one before then. And then, like, the weird ones that do well in March tend to be, like, really female-driven so far. Mm-hmm. Like Alice in Wonderland and Hunger Games.
Yeah, Hunger Games.
But I think it's good for the industry to start spacing stuff out.
Yeah, why do we have to have summer be like every weekend there's a blockbuster and it's going to be
They cannibalize each other.
Yep.
You have to make all your money opening weekend because then you're taking a 50 or 60% drop the next weekend.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for the other side of the coin, the award season movies. Why are these all in 3 months of the year?
Why can't we go back to Silence of the Lambs coming out in February and winning Best Picture a year later? I mean, is it that hard?
Because they're just afraid. They're afraid to take the gamble. And
I think so. Would you guys say that like DC took a little bit of a gamble by moving it to March? I mean, I don't think. I think you could throw this in January and it would blow the socks off of everyone. It just doesn't matter.
If somebody threw a blockbuster like this in January,
because they call it the graveyard of movie season.
Yeah,
you know, you get like another Underworld movie in January, and that's pretty much it. So I feel like DC is now going to open it on March 25th. We got Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. It could probably be number one for like a month.
And you know what? I'm salivating over the idea of watching the Super Bowl with my buddies and seeing a brand new Batman vs. Superman trailer.
Yeah. That's what we're going
to
get.
You'll be able to advertise it. What are the two biggest TV events of the year? It's the Super Bowl and the Oscars, no?
Yeah.
They're right there, right before March. So I think that you'll see Warner Brothers take advantage of those two opportunities.
It's true, and I think if this hits, we're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were speculating that, you know, DC kind of looked at what Captain America did what Marvel did with Captain America in April,
mm-hmm,
and saw that it could be successful. It's still number one domestic, you know, this year, so that's great. So why not?
Nikki Fink made a good point in her article as well, where she said DC had a chance to look at Marvel's slate. They had a chance to see all the release dates. So maybe that's why they waited and didn't announce at Comic-Con.
Yeah. We did a little bit of speculating on, did Nikki Fink's scoop kind of blow the DC's, you know, presentation for Comic-Con? But I don't know. It's hard to tell with these things. You know, she got a lot right, I think, and maybe she got a lot wrong. I don't know. I mean, we still don't even know the titles. I mean, that's the other news. It's like, we're going to have DC movies for the next 50 or 60 years. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of superhero movies coming out. There will be fatigue. I almost guarantee it.
There already is, I think, a little.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on it having a colon and then something really portentous and dumb after it?
Right. Two to one these days.
Yeah. I think the franchise fatigue with superheroes, I mean, it's got to be done well.
It'll be interesting to see which one is the first big flop.
Yeah. We haven't really had... I mean, some of these open really well. Even Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I did not like at all. I thought it was one of the worst movies of the year.
It broke my heart because I'm a big Emma Stone fan.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Spider-Man fan. And it's just...
Dude, Emma Stone's probably delighted to be out of that franchise.
I know. It's like, right? You follow the comics, right? Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. You guys know this. Yeah. Spoiler alert. She dies. And Emma Stone's like, you read the comics, right? I need to get out. Just to get out of here. Okay. We could go on and on
with
this.
Yeah, well, that's enough on that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we got to touch on? Or
I wish we could touch on more.
We don't have time?
No, okay. we're out of time.
Fair enough.
But Amy, God, I can't wait to read your book and to hear It's Tom Cruise. This is a love letter to Tom Cruise, I think, because when you think about the 10 roles that defined him, we started geeking out, if that's a word for Tom Cruise. But no, I know you were super excited.
Amy, you had me at hello, but it's time to say goodbye.
Snyder, you complete me.
Oh my God, I love this. And so where so Amazon, you can find your book, Anatomy of an Actor, Tom Cruise. The Amy Nicholson on Twitter. Schmelvo, give her some love, please.
Yep.
And Jeff Snyder, where can the good folks find you?
TheWrap.com, filing daily, even on the weekends sometimes, and yeah, over on Twitter at The In Snyder.
I like that.
Who knows what I'll say?
Yeah, you follow these guys, and Jeff, you know, he's fun on Twitter. You got to follow him because it's some good stuff. And as always, guys, you can follow me at Riley Around. You can see me at editor-in-chief at schmozno.com. And you guys, please subscribe, share, rate, comment, iTunes. It's very important to keep this show alive and going. And you guys, I mean, you're killing it right now. Meet the Movie Press.
Thank you for the warm response, Schmoville. I really appreciate it. We got started off on the wrong foot, and and now I feel like I'm a part of the community. So thank you.
Yeah, you don't know the backstory, Amy. He was.
We'll tell you off camera.
We covered that last week. But you guys, also check out the Schmoes Know Network. We have Jedi Alliance with Ken Knapsack and Maude Garrett. That's the love letter to Star Wars every week. And debuting next week, we have Profiles with Alicia Malone and Scott Mance. I don't know why I was saying Sam.
Oh, I love Alicia.
Yeah, you know Alicia?
Oh, yeah, I know Alicia.
Yeah, we got a big network coming, as well as Guilty Movie Pleasures with Josh McCuga is coming out. So we have a lot going on. So guys, rate, subscribe, share with your friends, visit schmozno.com, and you'll see us every day doing this kind of stuff. And I'm just really excited to have you here, Amy. Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
You come back again?
Love to.
Awesome. We'll do the jellyfish.
Do I get a pound?
Over there.
Absolutely, you get two.
All right. We'll blow it up.
Nice.
Thank you.
And after this, we're doing the dance-off. So thanks, Schmoville.
Bye, everyone.
Check us out at schmozno.com. We'll see you next week.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes Know Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Meet the Movie Press. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes Know Network episodes, get movie news, or join the conversation, be sure to visit schmozno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes Know Network.